I have been unable to identify any human being that thinks that the general schedule as it exists today is the perfect system for paying people in the federal government. That, however, is where the consensus seems to end. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International and former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Department of Homeland Security, and he's writing about some of the alternatives that are possible to the general schedule. Jeff, you touch on something in this blog post that you have both at chiefhro.com and on federalnewsradio.com that I find particularly interesting. You write, "What surprises me is how many smart, well-informed, and thoughtful people assume the only alternative to the general schedule is pay for performance." Now, considering, I mean, pay for performance I know exists in a few places in government, but on a broad scale, it's never been successful. And so it surprises me that people would think either one or the other, Jeff.
Hi, Francis. It surprised me, too, and what made me actually write this post was I had written a couple of earlier ones on general schedule reform leading up to one I'm going to post next week on what I recommend to do in place of the general schedule. And I was surprised how many people said, well, we didn't think you were a big believer in pay for performance. And I said, well, why do you say that? And they said, well, you're saying get rid of the general schedule, so you must be in favor of pay for performance. And so I think what has happened is when people have tried to reform the general schedule in the past with demonstration projects, things like the National Security Personnel System or MaxHR at DHS, they always went to a pay-for-performance model. So folks have started thinking the alternative to GS is pay-for-performance when I just don't think that's true. I think there are a lot of other options. And I have some significant concerns about how pay for performance has worked in government.
Is there a difference between the concept of pay for performance and the title that we gave to some programs that were tried in government of pay for performance, Jeff?
Well, I think pay for performance is one of those things that in theory everybody would agree with. You know, you pay people according to their contributions, and your high performers get paid more, and your low performers get paid less. But what we learned, I think, is that performance, like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder. And so what we found in several of these systems is that if you go through the entire process and then analyze the results, you find that it didn't work quite the way you intended. You know, first of all, we base it on performance management systems that everybody agrees are flawed. I don't know of anybody who would tell me they love performance management systems. As a matter of fact, I was speaking to a group of emerging HR leaders at the Partnership for Public Service last week, and I asked the people in the room, and it was probably 50, maybe 60 people, 50 people probably, and I said, how many people here think you have a good performance appraisal process in your agency? And it was like their hands were glued to their sides. Nobody raised a hand. And I said, I'm sorry, you must not have heard me. I said, how many people think you have a good performance appraisal system in your agency? And none of them did. They all hated them. They all didn't think they were very reliable. And that's the thing that really concerns me, is the reliability and validity of the performance management process. And what's happened when people have tried these pay-for-performance systems, they've put in place a new performance management process or a rating process and then immediately started using it for pay decisions when they hadn't tested it and validated whether or not it's actually a good system. And what they found in some cases, and some people argue about whether this is true or not, but it certainly appears to be from what I've seen, what they found is there were some unintentional outcomes. If you go back a few years, 5 years, to NSPS, there was a lot of concern about whether there was bias in the process. Were people who were white doing better than people who were not white? And those kinds of things are really serious concerns. And what I found in DOD is that, with NSPS, is that when people were confronted with that information, a lot of people found it very disturbing. because these were folks who didn't go into this process thinking, well, we're going to come up with a biased system. They thought they were doing something really well. The managers who were running the process thought they were being very fair. These were not racists or people that you would have, you know, these were not a bunch of bigots running the system. These were very good, decent people. Yet the data seemed to show that white employees did better than non-white employees. The other thing you find with some of these pay-for-performance systems is that if you're in an organization that's made up of a bunch of people of a single type, it's like working in a law firm or working in a hospital where there's a group of employees whose job is what the place exists to do, the lawyers or the doctors, and then a group of people who support them. In some organizations that do pay-for-performance, they're finding that the people who are in the support jobs just are not served well by the pay-for-performance system because what it's designed to do is recognize the mission work, not the support work. So I think there are so many problems with these types of systems that I'm not confident that we can run one in the government and run it well anytime soon. And the other concern I had is retention. You know, if you look at the general schedule, it gives you most of the pay raises, almost all of them, based on retention. And in pay for performance, most people say, no, nothing is retention based. It's all based on performance. But retention is a good thing. You know, when you have turnover, it costs you money. When you hire people, that there's a cost associated with that. There's a cost associated with training new employees. So there's a cost associated with vacancies. If other people are having to do the work of vacant jobs, those folks can get burned out and their morale can tank. So retention is actually a good thing, and I think you would want to incentivize retention. And that's not something that I've seen built into most of these pay-for-performance systems. So all of those things make me think that pay-for-performance is not something the government is ready for, and is probably not ever going to be implemented in a way that would make it a valid, reliable process. And for that reason, I have trouble supporting it.
Jeff Neal writes at the Chief HRO blog, chiefhro.com, and we have his posts also posted on federalnewsradio.com. Jeff, I don't want you to give away the ending, and we'll look forward to what you're writing about a potential replacement or reform for the general schedule. But in the meantime, it sounds like what you will be in favor of is something that includes elements of all of the pay-for-performance systems that you've talked about, because you haven't condemned them all, and also elements of the general schedule, and kind of look at this more holistically as to how an agency can value an employee. You know, the retention one is, I think, a great point. Of all the things that you write in this post, I think that one's probably the one that I've never heard anybody talk about before, because most people look at giving somebody a raise because they've been there as a negative.
You're right. That's what most people say, but retention is one of those things that needs to be considered. And I am going to be recommending something that has some performance incentives in it, that has some retention incentives in it, and that has pay that is based on what it costs to hire people in the areas where the jobs are located. And I think what most reasonable people would say is the federal government should pay its employees good wages. It should encourage people to make a career with them, and it should reward extraordinary performance. There's a big difference in rewarding extraordinary performance and giving different raises to 50 different people based on minute gradations of performance that we really can't prove exist. So all of those things would be present in what I'm recommending. And I'm going to recommend a way to actually make it happen, because I think our current political system is not exactly highly functional. And I think if we just threw this into the normal political process, nothing would come out of it.
That's where I wanted to go next, is how you build something that can actually get put into practice and we can see if it can work or not.
Well, I think the current political system, if you just threw it into that, would probably produce some sort of Frankenstein monster that nobody wants. So I have some ideas on ways you could do this that would that would have some professional input into the development of it and some ways to make certain that, that it's not just turned into a political food fight. I don't think a political fight is in anybody's interest, and it certainly wouldn't serve the taxpayers or the people who do their work, the federal employees who do the people's work. So I think there are some ways to make this happen, and I'm going to be writing about that, and I'm sure you and I can talk about that the next time and maybe debate it a little bit.
Well, I don't know if I'm in a position to debate you on HR stuff, but I will certainly look forward to hearing what you think about this, Jeff. Always great to have you on the program.
Thank you. Always great to be here.